are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from, where the hell are we? Studio City or Sherman Oaks. I never know where I am half the time. And our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show is going to help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide advice, tips, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website, latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down and look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and click the link. And this will take you directly to our archive page where you can view the list of all of our past guests. Now, our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section and also on Stitcher.com. So just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and again, we are there. Since 2008, we've been here. If you want to find out about our future guest, you want to go to our official website, and that is the Question Reality website, and that is questionrealityradioshow.com. questionrealityradioshow.com. Now, thank you so much, people, because we are booked 6 months to a year in advance. I have to hold you people off. My God, I can't get to you all. You're just coming in hordes, and I love it, and I appreciate it. So if you go to that website, you'll see that I booked all the way up until, I think, June, and then I had to stop, and we will get the rest of you booked, but it just comes and goes. My mind comes and goes, so just hold on. Now, as usual, every week we have fantastic, wonderful guests that provide information for you, and this week is no exception. We have a hot, sexy, he is sitting here, he is sizzling, honey, let me tell you. His name is James Carhu. And his website is jamescarhu.com. You want to go there now to check him out while we are going to go over our advertisements. You know, we have to do the ads. But it's jamescarhu.com. And he is a reality television show casting director. You knew it was coming, people. You know how much I love reality television. You know I'm a fanatic. So I was searching and searching, and I found little James Carhu, and I'm so appreciative that he came on the show. And we're going to talk to him in a couple minutes. So again, go to his website and check out his latest project so you can find out if you can submit to him. He might be casting for something you are interested in. Now, I have to announce the movie just opened this week. My friend Susan Cohen, her son Josh Ehrenberg, is in the incredible Burt Wonderstone. And again, it just opened this week. And Joshua plays Doug. Judah Mooney, and he plays the son of Doug Mooney, who's played by James Gandolfini. So I'm sure everybody has seen the ads for Burt Wonderstone, but just in case you haven't, it's about the superstar magicians. Burt Wonderstone is played by Steve Carell, and Steve Buscemi plays Anton Marvelton, and they have ruled the Las Vegas Strip for years, and they are raking in millions with their illusions as big as Burt's growing ego. But lately, the duo's greatest deception in their public friendship, while secretly they've grown to hate each other, it is just rocking out. It is just tearing the Las Vegas Strip up. So facing cutthroat competition from gorilla street magician Steve Gray, who's played by Jim Carrey, we love Jim Carrey, whose cult following surges with each outrageous stunt, even their show is starting to look stale. But there's still a chance Bert and Anton can save the act, both on stage and off, if only Bert can get back in touch with what made him love magic in the first place. So very good film, very, very funny. Why wouldn't you go see Steve Carell and Jim Carrey? I don't know. But you got to go see the movie. Again, the incredible Bert Wonderstone. And look for my little friend, Josh Ehrenberg. He plays, again, Judah Mooney, who's James Gandolfini's son. He's fantastic. He's also on Suburgatory, as a regular on Suburgatory. Oh, he's on everything. So just look him up. All right, so let's get back to James Carhoo. Love that name. I love that name. That sounds like a men's cologne. Carhoo. I don't know. We'll have to talk to James. Anyway, James is a casting director, and he's known for discovering talent for television's most fascinating shows, including ABC's Secret Millionaire. Love that one. And the Emmy-nominated game show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Obsessed with that. I just watched like a whole marathon on Saturday. Love that show. He's an avid skateboarder and surfer, and he began his television career traveling across the country in a green RV for the PBS and Fuel TV series Road Trip Nation. Oh my God, I love that too. What happened to that? Oh my God, we got to find out. Throughout the process, he spent 30 days interviewing leaders in the action sports industry, and he discovered his true passion for people and their unique stories. Now, his work can be seen on ABC, NBC, Bravo, MTV, CMT, GSN, The Hub, OWN, which is, you know, the Oprah channel, and online at yahoo.com. And you can sign up to be on James Carhoo's to get his newsletter, which is very important if you're seeking your reality television career. So go to his website, jamescarhoo.com/newsletter. Again, jamescarhoo.com/newsletter. So hey, let's welcome James, everybody. Hi, James.
Hello, how are you?
Woo! He is rocking and rolling today over here, cute as a button, may I say. And we are so happy to have him because we have been getting emails from people for years. We've been on the air since 2008, and there is always reality television questions. And I thought, I got to have a reality television person on. And who better than James Carhoo? He is one of the hottest new young reality television casting directors. So we are going to find out everything we can from him today. Starting with, now, James, when you were a little bitty boy, what did you want to do?
Oh, wow. That is a very I wanted to be a lot of things. I mean, one of the things that I wanted to be first, and I think it was because, you know, my mom kind of wanted me going to that direction. She's going to be like, you're going to be an architect. You're totally going to be an architect. And that is just because, you know, before she had 9 children, believe it or not, she's yes, I'm from a huge family. Before she had 9 children, she studied interior design at UCLA. So that was a big passion for her. So she's like, my son is going to be an architect. However, you know, I went through, you know, school and I was like, you know, do I really want to do that? Do I want to be an engineer? I wasn't really sure. It was about 7th grade is when I picked up skateboarding. And then 8th grade is when I kind of did a job shadow. And I was like, you know what? I really don't want to just be behind a desk drafting all the time. So, I mean, as far as like what I wanted to be, again, architect, I know like lots of different things, you know, interested me, of course, firefighter, policeman, like, right. You know, all the very,
standards.
All the very general things, you know, that boys are supposed to be. But yeah, I mean, it was probably early on, I thought I was going to be an architect.
So how did you make that? When did you make that discovery that you wanted to become a cat or get into casting? Now, was reality television something that you always wanted to do in casting, or did you just fall into it? How did it come to be that you said, okay, I'm going to do casting for reality television rather than television series or film?
The way that I got into reality television casting was, I mean, the full story kind of is I went to the University of Washington in Seattle and I studied business administration. I was getting ready to either work in an investment bank. I was getting ready to maybe be an IT consultant for a large, you know, corporation. I was getting ready to maybe even, you know, who knows.
You were getting the pencils ready to be pushed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really feeling it. I mean, to be honest, I wanted to skateboard, and whatever I had to do to be able to skateboard and be in the sun, I was going to make that happen. So after a couple of interviews after school, I was like, I applied to be on the show Road Trip Nation, which has had, you know, many seasons on PBS.
Oh, yes. I love that show. Wait a minute. Isn't that the one where they travel, they go across the country, right? And they'd have little tasks and stuff.
They go across the country, and it's essentially, it is either students that are still in college, or they have recently graduated and they are not sure what they want to do with their lives. So I was really at this, you know.
Wait a minute. Was that the one with, I'm thinking of the one with Tyler Florence. Oh, man, I think that might be Food Truck Nation. Okay. Oh, confused. All right. Wrong one. Go ahead.
Wrong show. Okay, so I can explain a little bit. So it's really a truly, in essence, it's one of the most honest documentary series out there in the sense that it is not heavily edited as much reality television shows are. It's really showing kind of what happened as, you know, these young kids traveling across the country not knowing what they want to do. The kids on the show, they booked the interviews for, you know, whoever they want to talk to. Ours was the first theme trip where we were, it revolved specifically around action sports. So skateboarding, snowboarding, surfing, everything kind of in that area, we interview people within that industry. And so, you know, through that and being on the show.
That was perfect for you. You're around the people you love. Skateboarding up a storm?
Exactly. And so I was like, my whole thing was like, you know what? I'm going to get to meet all these people in the skate industry. At least maybe I can be an accountant in the skate industry or something like that. Maybe I can do that.
Yeah, a sports company.
Exactly.
Like that.
And be around the industry and be around all those people. But through making the show and through interviewing people, I discovered that I had a passion for actually making the show. And so after it was over, I was like, I am not going back to Seattle, Washington. I'm not going back up to that rain. I'm going to stay here. So I begged and pleaded, in a way, for an internship at Road Trip Nation. So I started working in their post-production department. I really wanted to hustle, so I wanted to work 7 days a week. So 2 days a week, I got a job working for MTV, being a casting recruiter. Mm. Now, the show was not exactly the easiest show ever to cast. It was MTV's Sex with Mom and Dad with Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Oh, yay. I love Dr. Drew Pinsky. He's a fantasy guy for me. I watch that. I like that. I watch everything Dr. Drew. No, why wasn't it easy to cast that?
Well, because you are convincing kids ages 16 to 19 to come on air with their parents and talk about their sex lives.
Yes. And what did you do? What did you find that was your technique to get them to do that?
Oh my gosh. So when I first went out, it was ridiculously hard, and I was getting shut down left and right.
Yeah.
I was even, we can talk about some more of the difficulties, but really what really led to the success was do not tell them the name of the show until the end.
Oh, yeah. That's a good secret. Why do you think reality television shows have become so popular? I mean, they're huge now why do you think people like them now? I know why, but let's see what you think.
I think they are so big right now because, I mean, essentially, you get to see, you know, in the back of your head, whenever you're watching something scripted, especially like a sitcom or something like that, you know, like, oh, you know, in the back of your head, if you're somebody that can't really suspend your disbelief, you might be a sucker for reality television, at least initially, because you're like, this is real people. Like, this is somebody's actually crying. They are not acting. They are really torn to bits. This is their life. And so it really kind of, I think it gives people the ability to kind of peek inside, get a little peek inside people's lives. You know, that maybe scripted stuff.
I can't believe you said peek inside. That is exactly what I wrote down here a little bit later. You get to peek inside their lives. You get to explore the lives of people that you may not be able to come in contact with. I mean, when the hell am I ever going to get to meet Honey Boo Boo? That's my favorite show. I love that show. I can only take it in increments because it does kind of make me gag because they eat like raw pig feet. I think they just ate that. And I mean, you're fascinated. You can't stop. If you are, especially if you live in a small town in middle America, you are not going to probably meet these types of people. You're not going to meet girls from what is that, the Bad Girls Club? Mm-hmm. You may not meet those type of people. And most of the time when you watch the reality shows, your mouth is agape. You're just in disbelief. You can't believe it, because they bring the shock and awe. That's what reality television does. But you know what? I hate when people bash me for watching reality television, because they don't realize how much you can learn from watching reality television. You learn about professions that you'd never know about. You learn how to do things. You learn how to cook. You learn how to do so many things. And people don't realize that. They say that people who watch reality television, their intellect has to be so low that you can't. You're lowbrow. You can't really function at a higher level. But I find it is amazing. I think I could deliver a baby now from watching reality television. I'm telling you, my mother is an OBGYN, and from watching reality television shows, I can discuss with her various things that happen being an OBGYN. She says, "Where did you learn it? Reality television?" No, you didn't. Yes, I did. But it's a wonderful medium. I think it's opened up. It's like the Greek and Roman Colosseums. Remember when people used to come and watch people getting mauled? Well, it's the same thing. We get to watch reality television, right?
We get to watch Snooki get punched in the face.
Yes. I mean, I think it's a secret guilty pleasure. I think more people watch it than they let on. So I think that's why it's popular, because we do get to see the lives of people we wouldn't hang out with. We may not hang out with them, but we want to see them.
Exactly. And I mean, I would for example, I did not cast the Jersey Shore, but I like, when I first saw the first episode, I was like, oh my God, look at all these douches. I hate these people. I would never hang out with
them.
I hate them.
Yeah.
And then I watched an episode.
Yeah.
And then I watched another.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I watched them all, and I've seen every single one of them, and I love them.
Yes.
I love them.
And then watching the spinoffs. I'm watching Snooki and JWoww. And then I watched the Pauly D show when he went to Vegas. You can't stop. And it is addictive, and we don't know why, or maybe we do, but they're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful shows. I highly encourage people, give them a chance. Just try it. I mean, some of the shows are ridiculous. Now, they have a new one called Splash on primetime television. I don't really get a bunch of celebrities jumping off a diving board into a pool. I don't know what that's about. But then you have other ones that make perfect sense and that are very, very educational. So now, James, is this reality television? A lot of people come to California or want to get on a reality television show because they think it is a path to becoming a star. Is this a recommended path for exposure in the entertainment industry as an actor? I am torn on that because, for example, there is a show called Grimm that's on right now, one of my favorite shows. The star of the show, he actually used to be on The Hills. And so he made that segue into the show. And then there have been many other people who've actually become sort of stars from reality television. What are your thoughts on that?
As far as like seeing reality television as a way to get into acting, I mean, it really depends. Like, what are you really trying to do? If you're trying to regularly book, you know, be a working actor, I probably would not suggest it.
Right.
I wouldn't suggest it because,
you'll get kind of typecast as a
Reality person.
Reality television.
It depends. You know, if you're hosting something unscripted, that's something else. Like perhaps you're hosting something and you're an expert, or you are, you know, it really just depends on the show. But I mean, if you're trying to act, I would go ahead and try to act. I would not, like so few people have ever made the leap from reality television to being a big star. Being a big star is like, you know, it's one in a million. It's definitely hard. And I don't necessarily think being on a reality show really increases your chances. It's definitely a fun thing to do, you know, memory that you'll have. But don't expect to, you know, after the show airs, having a million people banging down your door and wanting to book you on stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't exactly work that way.
Yeah, I mean, it has happened, but it's very rare. Now, what do you think makes a great reality television star? Now, as I'm talking about along the lines of, say, not that I like this person, Omarosa from, what's that show, Albert?
Apprentice?
Donald Trump, The Apprentice. She became a huge, she had her 15 minutes. Kendra, I think, from The Hills, Holly Madison from Playboy. So they have gone on to build empires from being on reality television because they were considered a great reality television star. So they didn't become great actors, but they have gone on to start their own multi-million dollar companies. What attracted them to those people rather than other people we've seen on reality television?
I really think it comes down to somebody with a very, very, very strong personality. If somebody has a very strong personality and if they carry themselves a certain way, sometimes people react to that.
Yeah.
We totally shouldn't. We should be sane and we should say no. But if somebody carries themselves like a celebrity, after so long, people begin to believe it.
Right.
It's an illusion and people begin to believe it and they start, you know, if you get shot down by somebody and they have, you know, like a strong personality and they, you know, they basically, you know, have the smoke and mirrors going for them. If you do it long enough, sometimes it works. Sometimes,
yeah.
You know, people can believe that this person is a legitimate star. And, you know, from being in the public eye, you know, the public recognizes them. The public knows them. You can sometimes capitalize on that.
Right. For example, Jersey Shore, J-Wow has her own perfume line, I believe, in suntan line or something. I don't think Snooki's doing anything. But some of them have, and I think DJ Pauly, he has his own DJ line of equipment coming out. But these were in the professions that they had either before or that someone made it realistic within their personality to sell that. Suntan. What do? Gym, tan, laundry. So tanning is perfect for J-Wow. I think it should have been more like one of the guys, but it worked out. So they. I think you're right. It's a very strong personality, and it has to be a show that really captures the attention. It makes you want to follow these people for whatever reason.
Exactly. I mean, some people, they just have that very strong personality. They're great in front of a camera, and they are able to, you know, build a little bit of an audience and build a little bit of a following, and you can go ahead and capitalize on that. If you have something existing, you just got a ton of free press from a reality show. That's one of our biggest selling points to get people on shows. If they're a little hesitant, if they have a book or if they have, you know, a business or whatever it is, we tell them, you know, everybody across the nation, well, that's watching the show, is going to know about it. It's free press.
Right. Yeah. See, if you have a business, it's a good thing to get on a reality show. But we're going to get to which reality show is for you, the right reality show. You don't just go on anyone. It should be fall in line to what you want to do. Now, let's talk about money. I get asked a lot, do they get paid? How much money do they get paid? So do you get paid a lot of money to be on reality television shows or anything at all?
In the first season, typically not. If the production company can get away with it, they're going to pay you nothing.
Okay.
They will pay you literally like a stipend so that you can eat.
Yeah.
Like, if they can get away with it, you know, that's one of the huge draws of reality television. The expenses are so low.
Yeah.
You're able to fill so many channels. But in the first season of a show, it is very unlikely that you are going to get paid much unless you are able to negotiate something.
Mm-hmm.
If they really want you and they really, really want you, you can negotiate there. But if there's a ton of people lining up and you are not able to market yourself as being indispensable, they'll just go with somebody else. So it's at that stage of the second season where it's like, if I jump ship, the show's done. So pay me some more.
Yeah. So if it really became popular, the first season, they bring it back. Do they offer you pay then, and does it go up with each year?
It's
Jersey Shore, I heard they're making a fortune.
Exactly.
Even the girls on Teen Mom 2. Yeah, I watch Teen Mom 2. The one girl can afford breasts now. I mean, none of these girls work. They're all lazy bitches, but yet they're driving Hummers and getting breasts. And I read Reality Tea, which is the reality television gossip website. And they're getting breasts and they're buying houses and they're getting, so they must be getting paid a lot of money.
Exactly. And I mean, once you have a following and the audience is attached to you, you can go ahead and negotiate that. Some people do it by themselves. Some people will get, you know, an agent to negotiate it. I'm not an expert in that area,
mm-hmm.
but they will go ahead and do that just so, you know, that like the second season, the way that, you know, it works is they're if it's up to the production companies, they are not going to be like, here you go. Here's $1 million.
Yeah.
Here, it's right in front of you, and you didn't even ask for it. No, you have to advocate for yourself and, you know, demand that you're going to get paid if you're going to continue to do the show.
So maybe each one person that's on the same show might be getting paid a different amount. They're probably all getting different amounts depending on who's more aggressive.
That can be a potential. I mean, every case is different. Every show is different. I'm not an expert on every show out there. But, yeah, that can definitely be the case.
I think that's probably it. Now, when you audition for people on a reality show, what are you looking for most? Now, I know it depends on what the reality show is. You have criteria. But there's got to be, like, basic things that you look for. What are they?
If I laugh. If I get goosebumps, or if you do a backflip. On Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, we had a rule in the audition room. I know it's totally breaking tons of insurance laws, blah, 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 blah. If you did a backflip in our audition room, you got on the show.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Or I just watched an episode the other day, and it was this Chinese guy, and his mother, his family was in the audience, and they were holding up signs that says, "Go, stupid chicken." And Jeff Foxworthy says, "Why do they call you stupid chicken?" And he said, "Well, Benji in Chinese means stupid chicken." So that might have been like a really good thing to build around. Like if you have a pet name or some name that's really weird, that's a great plot line.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, essentially, if you have something really interesting about you up top, you know, like you're a UFO hunter or something, it like catches our attention. For like a big game show where you're seeing tons of people, if you can catch our attention, that's good. Number one thing I'll say is that it's energy, personality, enthusiasm. You have to amp it up. If I am bored, I'm going to go to sleep. So you really just need to amp it up. And I will work with people. I'll tell them up top, you know, this room is completely soundproof. I want you to be loud. I want you to have fun. I want you to ignore the camera. But the truth of the matter is that the room is never soundproof. Sometimes I'll tell them the microphone is broken. You need to be louder. The microphone, it always works perfectly. Those are the deceptions that we use to get
people
to pop on camera.
So there you go. If he's telling you this, so imagine what it's like when you get on the reality show. So, you know, but people who tend to have those types of personalities, now let's just be honest, some of them are not right. I have a friend that books reality television shows, and she wanted Albert and I to be on a show, and we said, well, we'll think about it. Why don't you send us over the paperwork? Well, lo and behold, we got this contract that was almost as thick as a Bible, and they wanted to know everything about us. I mean, everything. And I think there was a medical or psychological exam that was involved. Now, if you want people that act like you want them to act, how the hell are these people going to pass a psychological evaluation? You know you're slipping that through.
It is.
These people are whacked out. They are crazy as bat bugs, some of them. How do they do it? Come on, give us a scoop.
I mean, honestly, you do lose a lot of good people through, you know, the medical, the psych, the background. If it's a show, I haven't done a ton of these, but if it is a show, if it's a big network show, they typically do this. If it is a show where you're going to meet a house full of people, they do this. If it's a game show, we don't care. Like, you come on the stage, and if you're crazy, it's going to last for 45 minutes.
Yeah, but let's talk about the Bad Boys Club. Those bitches are crazy, ripping the hair out and scratching each other up. And the one girl almost put the girl's eye out with her stiletto heel. These people are not right. How did they get on the reality show? They are not passing any psych evals on this planet.
Magic.
Do they let it slip?
I can't speak specifically for that show. I do know that some shows will have more stringent requirements than others. A lot of shows do lose a lot of people, you know, through the psychological, you know, the psych test. But the trick is really just finding the people that are kind of on the line, that are going to pass these
on
tests.
On the borderline of sanity.
On the borderline of sanity, yeah, that are going to be able to pass these tests and be safe. So, you know, you don't create a huge liability, but are also going to create, you know, really, you know, fascinating television. And a lot of people, honestly, like, they might be sane, but once you put a bunch of people in a house or your cameras around 24/7.
Right.
People, you can change. You can tell yourself that, oh, I'm going to be the person that comes onto this show, and I'm just going to be normal. Well, first off, you're not going to get cast. But then second, like, you know, it gets to you.
Yeah.
People
stress
will get to you, and even a normal, sane person that is completely sane can snap under extreme circumstances or in an alcohol-fueled situation.
That's right. That's right.
Am I giving reality TV a really good rap here right now?
No, but it is. But we're still going to watch it, so don't worry about it. We got you covered, honey. All right, so now what do... So I would imagine some of the things you don't want to see if you get called in for a reality television show, you don't want to be quiet. You don't want to try to be conservative. You don't want to be boring because that's not what is going to get you on television. But I do sometimes see reality television shows where people are boring. So I think that you've got to factor in, you've got to like get some people in there that are not too crazy, like The Amazing Race. Some people are outrageous, other people are just average normal. So I think you might have a chance.
Oh no, you certainly definitely do have a chance. And I would say the number one thing that I really like is I like it when people are just fun and authentic, when they are authentic with me. I know it is, you know, do kind of amp it up, but, you know, especially for the competition-based shows, the game shows, stuff like that. But for, you know, for a lot of stuff, you know, just being yourself and having like a naturally like a good personality and being able to like, when you like explain a story or tell an anecdote from when I'm able to picture it and when I feel like I'm there and I get goosebumps or whenever somebody says something in a casting interview, and it just clicks, and it's just like, that's a good soundbite. That's a good soundbite. And when I look back at the logs, because we have an associate take notes, if there's a lot of those stars, and I mean, you know, at the end, you just know when an interview is good, when somebody is, they're just being fascinating, and being fascinating in the casting room is going to transfer onto the show.
Yeah, because everything is amplified. Actually, when you're on radio and television, you really have to amp up your personality like times 10, because television and radio suck the life out of you. They really do. I mean, yeah, 30 pounds. Okay. So what do you find, how do you find people, I can't read what the hell I wrote.
Sure.
How do people find about all of the reality television shows that are being cast? Okay, here. How do people find out about all these? Because everybody wants to, most people want to be on some sort of show. And if they can't be an actor, they want to be on reality television. Is there a website with all the, how do you find out about the reality?
Yeah, if you want to have a website that has like all of the reality show opportunities in one spot, a good portion of them are on realitywanted.com.
Realitywanted.com.
Yep. And then you can also go to each network's site. If they are cool and it's and the network is awesome and they are doing the production company a favor by putting casting notice up there, a lot of the casting notices will be up there. So for example, nbc.com/casting. Or go to MTV and MTV casting, and each network will often, more often than not, have stuff that they're looking for, so you can find it that way as well. And then also check out Craigslist. A lot of us reality casting directors post on Craigslist in the jobs and gigs area.
Really?
Yes.
What
we do.
About Mandy.com?
Not so much.
Oh, I didn't know Craigslist. You can buy a damn bed and then check out your reality television casting. Okay, what percentage of reality television shows are scripted? Everybody's like, oh my God, I don't even know why you watch that, because it's scripted. You know, they write those lines. Now, sometimes you watch these reality television shows, and I don't know about other people, but I know because I have a very good eye, and because I produce and direct, I can tell when someone's acting and I can tell when it's real. But most people think all of it's scripted, but it's not. But sometimes they give you kind of like plot, let's just say plot lines. So they'll say, okay, well, we want a fight to happen, so go. Is this true or not true? They'll give you an idea of what they want, and then you have to like do it.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, I mean, sometimes.
Like, for example, Jersey, the Desperate Housewives of New Jersey. I have a friend who knows one of them personally, and she said they would say to us, we want you to fight with this person this week, so, and this is what we want you to fight about. So they wouldn't script them, but they'd tell them what they wanted to happen.
That definitely happens on a lot of the docuseries. Like, that will, I can't speak for every
explain
show.
Explain what a docuseries is for
so,
people.
So, a docuseries or docusoap is when you are following a group of people around and really getting to see the day-to-day of their life.
All of the Housewives.
All of the Real Housewives. You know, Run's House was a successful show that went 6 seasons. Tea and Tamara on Style is another really super successful.
Which is different from The Amazing Race.
Exactly.
Is it? Because it's kind of yeah, that would be different, but like that's Survivor. Like oh, what does that fall under?
Survivor is a competition series,
okay,
so it's a competition.
Competition.
Yeah, so okay. It has that competitive aspect, whereas the docuseries is really just kind of, in theory, getting to see the day to day of somebody's lives, and it's kind of, it's not exactly like a soap opera, but you are getting to see a lot of the drama unfold and a lot of the drama that happens, you know, day to day in somebody's lives.
Like, one of my favorite reality shows is Jerseylicious. Oh my God, I love that show, and The Glam Fairy. And again, I have a friend who said, I got friends everywhere. I get all the scoops. She's like, well, they'll say, okay, well, this season, we want Gigi to be the bad guy. And a lot of people are saying that is so out of Gigi's character to be evil and this and that and this. So a lot of people are surmising that this happened because that's the goal of the show. She's going to be the bad guy and next season she's going to do this. So that is what they're calling like scripted.
Yeah, and I mean, I can't speak, about any show.
It's possible.
I won't speak about any show in particular, but it is very true that, they will have a big old stack of creative with all the different things, that story producers can work with to be able to, piece together episodes. And they, up on the wall, they'll have, like the different act breaks and kind of... Yeah, it's planned. A lot of it can be planned. It can be.
Because you got to have something to carry it. I mean, it is television. We want to see something. So some of it is scripted. Not scripted as in they give you lines to say, but in that they may give you okay, this is what we want to see. But the people that are on there just kind of do it in their own way. They react.
Exactly. And I mean, they might have a scenario like, we're going to have a charity event today. Plan that all the charity events planned out, they clear the location, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then they have like things that they want to happen.
Exactly. Now, what I found is, is your life, family, or profession? Okay. No. Okay. So what we're going to do now is we are going to talk about, a lot of people want to know, how do you get on reality television? Well, I have these six things that I found from this wonderful article, and I wanted you to either confirm or deny that this is a possible way to get on. So these are steps to get on reality television. Okay, so the first step, they're saying, think carefully before you leap. Being on a reality TV show is about being exposed, and that exposure is to include everyone, including your family, friends, neighbors, former school teachers, boss, your priest, and your old flame. You got to ask yourself, is this something you can handle? Do you mind if people talk about you? Because they will, and it's not always going to be flattering. And if you're not worried about it, then your dirty laundry being aired and your worst moments, then reality television is for you. When you're casting people, do you tell them this? And do they have a lot of questions, or what should you think about?
I mean, we tell them that. I mean, we don't try to tell. We're very honest with people up front. We don't try to hide anything from them. We will tell them that your life will be out there, and you need to be okay with that. And I really would encourage people to really think about it and see, is that something I really want to do? Do I really want to put myself out there? Because if you get signed on to this and it all works out, halfway through the season, if you want to change your mind, the show is still going to happen. Like, and it's going to happen. Like,
yes.
So,
They're going to air your shit, people. And there's nothing you can do because there's a contract, I would imagine.
Yeah, exactly. There is a contract. So, yeah, think long and hard before you do it. I would say the biggest piece of advice is look at the other shows the production company did. If you like those shows and they don't exploit people, then you're probably in the clear.
Exactly. Okay. Step number two, they say, think about the reality. It's not reality for starters. It's a house, an island, a boardroom, a viper-infested pit, and it's been specifically set up for filming 24/7, which is amazing to me because And then on top of that, much of it, now see, this is saying on top of it, much of it will be scripted. So the real you may not be quite so real. On most reality TV shows, you'll be expected to live in these fishbowls with very few private moments, with no respite from those you are sharing space with challenges thrown your way daily. Is this true? I mean, do they really come at you constantly and with all of these things that they want you to do? If you're not doing what they're expecting you to do, do they come to you and tell you, we need you to amp it up, we need you to...
Yeah, yeah. It is the field producer's job to get you to say stuff. And, you know, if you're not giving them good sound bites, they, you know, they will give you things to say. And the days are long sometimes, and, you know, it can wear down on you. So you definitely need to be prepared. That's why they put people, you know, through psych, medical, and background to make sure that they're ready for this sort of experience.
Yeah. Like, I had a friend, Steve, who was on, oh, my God, what's the show? We're Survivor. And I said, oh, come on. There's no way they don't give you toilet paper. He said, oh, no, your ass doesn't get any toilet paper. You get a leaf. He said, it is so real that you don't even think that you are human anymore sometimes. So Survivor is like 100% real. They are no joke. But there are some shows like I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Oh my God, they were giving them deodorant. And, I mean, they gave these bitches all kinds of stuff. They had laxatives and enemas and all kinds of stuff because they were complaining about all these things. Their nails were, they had manicurists on the set. So you don't know what that reality show is going to be like necessarily. I guess, do you tell them that? I mean, if you were casting for, say, that Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, are you going to say, well, we have toilet paper available for you? We have, or do you tell them that the reality is that it's not going to be as bad?
The producers definitely take care of that. So we'll do the casting process. We'll
do you give them the real deal? Or do you not tell them stuff so that they'll come on the show?
No. I mean, at least as far as what I try to do and the people that I work with try to do is we try to be very upfront because there is no benefit to not being upfront with them. You don't want to have them, you know, freak out. It can be a hard experience. You want them to be prepared for and be on board and want to do it and love it, you know?
Yeah, because they got to have a good time and they got to give us a good time. You don't want them coming at you with a pair of scissors or be in the jungle and, like, make a spear come after your ass. Okay, so the next step is learn all that you can about the show before applying, which is what you said. And for a brand new show, read whatever it is already in the media about the shows, the intended themes, content, time slot, and audience. For an existing show, it makes good sense to be up to date about the entire show from its previous seasons. So when people come to you, do you cast more for like new shows or do you do?
I've been more and more I've been doing new stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in development and for new shows, they need, something from scratch. So, for example, right now we are looking for stay-at-home dads. Yep, we are looking for those stay-at-home dads. So, I mean, you know
what? What do the dads have to do? Let's get that in real quick.
Okay, well, the dads just have to be a stay-at-home dad that is fun and has a wife that brings home the bacon.
Mm.
So we, essentially we're looking to, build a docuseries around a bunch of stay-at-home dads in one area, in one city, that are all friends.
And is this going to be shot here in LA or?
It is going to be shot wherever we find that group of dads nationally. So we're really open to casting nationally. And the way that we do that is we do Skype interviews. So we can literally, you know, at 1 o'clock have an interview with somebody in New York and at 2 o'clock have an interview with somebody in Florida. So, and then, you know, once we find somebody that's really fascinating and great, we see who, is in the world around them and build a show around that.
Wow. So just in America, it's not a international casting.
No, we keep it.
Okay. So how would people find out about the show that you're, first of all, what's the title?
Ooh, can't say.
Okay, so it's untitled, but we need dads whose moms are bringing home the bacon. Where would they go to apply for this?
So they can go ahead and go to my website, which is jamescarhu.com, and it'll be the first thing that comes up.
Now, do everything that you cast for, is it always on your website? You put like the latest stuff on
it? Yes, everything will be up on the website, and also if you sign up for the newsletter, you'll be the first to hear about it. You will know as soon as something goes up on the website.
Okay, and then also, are you on Facebook?
Yes, we are. We're on, Facebook. If you just search for James Carhu Casting, we'll come on up.
And Twitter?
Yes, also have a Twitter. Username James Carhu, K-A-R-H-U.
So I would say just type James Carhu and he is all over the place. let's see now. Also, the last look for castings and auditions. Look on your favorite reality television show's website. Perfect. So if you want to be on one of the shows, just go to their website. They always have castings for the new shows, so that's pretty self-explanatory. And apply with care. The details matter, and if you don't abide by the rules, as we were talking, in the application form, it may well be thrown away without a second glance, given that so many hopefuls will be trying their luck. So that process, they come in, they fill out an application, then they interview with you. Mm-hmm. What happens after? Do you tell them right then and there?
Oh, no way.
Okay.
Because it can potentially change. You can have somebody that you think it's 100% go. You have a lot of correspondence and follow-up. You get photos and all sorts of stuff and maybe even extra home tape and a whole myriad of things. And you can have them up on your wall. You know, they're going to be on the show. And then at the last minute, you know, the network could go up, want something changed. The producers want something changed. And they're not on the show anymore. So the thing is that until the cast is finalized, we never tell anybody that they're on the show. And until like the casting is well done, we don't tell anybody that they're not on the show. Because sometimes people come back from the dead and end up on the show.
So when they sign the contract, what is usual? Like usually, is there always a length of time? Do you just do one season? You do it like
exactly.
Season?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really heard of any contracts that will link people to like multiple seasons. It's usually just for, you know, this set specific amount of time that the network has budgeted and what you're going to be doing right then and there.
And what happens if someone starts signs the contract and then they decide they're too overwhelmed and they mentally just cannot handle it and they have a physical breakdown? What do you do? Can they get out of the contract?
I'm going to say no, that they can't. reality, like if you really don't want to do this and this is something that you don't want to do and you already signed the contract and you are just over it, tell the producers, like, in order for the show to work, everybody has to want to do it.
Yeah.
The contracts there, to scare you a little bit and to be like, you know, we're putting money into this, be on board, but, you know, think very hard before you sign that contract.
Exactly. And reality television is, again, there are many opportunities for many people to do many things. If you have, as James was saying earlier, let me ask you something. A lot of times I've heard that reality television casting directors are discouraged from casting people who are already in the industry, like actors, writers, da-da-da-da. How real is that? Because I've known reality shows where people are actors and writers, and they end up going on promoting their books and doing other things. And I'm like, okay, well, I thought they couldn't be in the business. How exactly does that work?
Absolutely do not let that stop you. People that are often in the business, whether they're like a semi-successful stand-up comic or a performer of some sorts, like if you're in the industry, do not let it stop you from trying to get on a show. And don't really... It won't stop you on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
It can stop you on a few things if you are already like recognizable to the public. But if you're not recognizable to the public and it's a certain show, the job title that they might give you is like personal organizer or some
job.
That you know they totally don't do. They're living in LA, they're trying to act, and they said, yes, let's go on The Bachelor. Let's, you know, let's.
But, yeah, there is something on those, on in the contract, I know, that says, you know, have you been on any other reality shows? Because I don't know about you, but because I watch so many of them, I often see people who were on shows like two years ago. They're, oh, my God, you're on this one, you're on that. They're all over the place. And I think that depending on what reality show it is, you cannot have worked a reality show within a year or something? What is that?
Yeah, typically, I mean, in the contract, it'll stipulate that, you know, if you've been on something in the past, the producers just want to know because they don't want to seem stupid pitching you to the network and getting you on the show, and they didn't even know that, oh, actually, there's 500,000 Americans that know who you are.
Yeah, and there are so many people that are on so many shows, and they don't want to see your face all over the place. They don't want to use person. Okay, so you have a show. If you want to be on James Carhu's new show and you are a dad, we are looking for you. So go to jamescarhu.com and apply, and please feel free to let me know about it, and we'll tell everybody whenever you're casting for something, because we have millions and millions of listeners, so I bet you're going to get a lot of people from today's show. Well, we hope we've answered all of your we've questioned your reality today, and we've answered all of your questions, and who knows, I may be starting my own damn reality show, because I just think I was a born reality television star, so I think I'm going to produce my own damn reality show, and Albert's my sidekick over there, because everybody tells me I should be on reality television, but I would only want to do like 8 hours a day. Nobody's following me around the damn bathroom. Hell to the no. So, James Carhu, thank you so much for being here. We wish you the best of luck. We hope that you come back maybe next year. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We appreciate your time. We hope you enjoy the show. And we hope you come back next week to Question Reality. Thank you. See you next week. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.